Sky's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Let us begin the first Thursday Live of 2018 by recalling a few lines from the Desiderata, a prose poem written by American writer Max Ehrman in the year 1927. Ehrman says, and I quote him, "Go placidly amidst the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourselves with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortune of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God. With all its sham, drudgery and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful, strive to be happy." Unquote. With the sage reflection from Max Ehrman, I offer myself at the lotus feet of the source. That is, the source of all sweetness, fragrance and grace. The very embodiment of unconditional boundless love, that the glue that binds us all and knits us into a gorgeous mosaic. The soul and goal of Radio Sai. Our dearest and most beloved Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. A loving Sai Ram, Happy New Year, and good morning to all the listeners of Morning Glory from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Dear listeners, my name is Karuna, and on behalf of the entire team at Radio Sai, I wish you a healthy and glorious year ahead. May our Lord Sai's protective hand be upon you and your family. May good news and happy tidings flow to you in abundance in the year ahead. Dear sisters and brothers, thank you for joining us on this very first Thursday morning of the year 2018. And today is the 4th of January and you're listening to Morning Glory on Radio Sai's Asia Stream. It is exactly 43 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time in the ashram right now. And the current temperature outside the studio is 23 degrees Celsius. The Divine Valley is experiencing overnight lows of as low as 14 degrees and daytime highs of 30 degrees Celsius. That's quite a range, with very cool nights and warm sunshine in the afternoon. And it does get a bit warmer when you're out there in the sun practicing for the big day for hours and hours together, which of course is coming up soon. Indeed, the countdown in Prashanthi Nilayam has begun for the annual sports and cultural meet of the Sai schools and colleges and the university, and it is scheduled at the historic and scenic Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium in Prashanthi Nilayam. On 11th of January 2018, Baba's beloved students from grade 1 to PhD levels and postdoc levels will offer their love and gratitude to their revered founder, Chancellor Bhagwan Baba, in the form of march pasts, drills, gymnastics, acrobatics, dances and much more. In the process, thousands of spectators in the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium will witness the discipline, the skill, the creativity, precision, perfection and love of Sai students in the form of the various presentations. These lovely students of Bhagwan Baba, by the way, range in age from about 5 to 25 years of age and beyond. These truly are the chosen ones whom Bhagwan referred to as his only property, his dearest children. And how much they value this privilege comes through loud and clear in the hard work they put into making each year's sports day more spectacular than ever before. So starting January 11th, early morning, all roads in this part of the world will lead to the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium for the annual sports and cultural meet of the various Sai schools, the four campuses of the Satya Sai University and the Mirpuri College of Music, as well as the Sai Nursing College, which is attached to the our super speciality hospital at Whitefield, Bangalore. So it's a very exciting time here, as is almost every single day in Prashanthi Nilayam, and you can actually feel the anticipation in the air. On that joyful note, let us begin the first morning glory of 2018 with a prayer for the well-being of all forms of life in all the worlds. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. Yes, dear Swami, we pray that all the beings in all the worlds are happy. Please let there be harmony, peace and love amongst families, at workplaces, among nations, and across all inhabitants of our planets. Of our planet, and I would say the rest of the universe also, who knows. Let the galaxies spin in harmony. Let divine love flow through every heart to fill the universe with positive and happy vibes. May all the beings in all the worlds be at peace, happy, safe, and so on. Swami, please keep the traffic on roads, seas, skies, and railway tracks safe. And please, Swami, neutralize those nuclear buttons that some world leaders seem to have at their fingertips in their office tables. Now is a good time to pull the wire under their table and disable the angry thoughts in their heads so that our world is safe. Phew, what all do you have to take care of, dear God? Thank God you have the patience to manage your creation, which sometimes seems to be going awry. And instead of saying, good luck to you, dear God, we, your children, will do as you taught us. Namely, we will chant this prayer, Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, every day at every opportunity. Thank you for your reminders, Bhagwan, to know that we must pray for the well-being of everyone, not just our immediate circle of family and friends. That is because we are all interconnected. The Vedas have echoed the same sentiment centuries ago with the call, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. The Sanskrit phrase means the world is one family. And the Vedic thought was so broad-minded and all-encompassing that the family included our two-legged, our four-legged, winged and finned friends as well, and also the inhabitants of worlds beyond our ken, because the Veda acknowledged the infinity of creation. Speaking of interconnection, I'm happy to inform you that we have a group of Sai University alumni who will be joining me in the studio this morning, and they will be speaking to us about their deep and intense connection to their motherboard, their alma mater, and their home here in Prashanthi Nilayam. I'm expecting Brother Abhimanyu Kaul of Canada and Brother Naveen Patel of the United Kingdom to join me for a live and a lively, hopefully, discussion shortly. I guess they're all on their way from the mandir. I can see some people from across the glass pane. They are here. And I urge you, dear listeners, that first let's begin the new year with some clarity. Clarity in our faith, clarity in our path, and clarity in our commitment to Bhagwan Baba. And now is a good time to phone your friends and families to tune to Radio Sai's Asia Stream immediately, because you're going to enjoy part 3 of Tryst with Divinity with Mrs. Geeta Umesh and Mr. Umesh Rao of Bangalore. You heard the first two episodes of this interview on previous two Thursdays right here on Morning Glory. Here is the final installment of this conversation. Listen in, please. This sounds like incredible amount of dedication and motivation and commitment. But I have a question for you, Mr. Rao. And the question is that I notice in your resume, you are the chairman and the managing director of Lotus Energy System, which was founded in 77 with Swami's blessings.
Yes.
It's an engineering company, and I went to the website and I checked. You are mostly into clean energies and alternate energies. Mm-hmm. Now, I also noticed this, which looks like a little bit of a dissonance, and I hope you don't mind my asking this. As of 10th of July 2013, one of your directors is a person who has been found to impersonate Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba after his departure from the physical body.
Yes, let me go back and then tell you what happened in 2011.
Yes.
After Swami's Mahasamadhi. We were involved, not necessarily through this person himself. The first that we got an opportunity was we were so into wanting to serve Swami.
Yes.
Which has been our life's mission.
Clearly.
The first thing that I think that we meaningfully did was, you have heard of the hospital at Raipur, I think.
Yes.
Yes. Now, we were asked, not by this person, but by a different person, a lady. They wanted to set up a counseling department over there.
Okay.
And they wanted us to come and train the batch of
counselors.
Local people who are willing to do this. So that is how I think we got involved. That was in 2012 that we went and spent 2 weeks. And the patients were the same patient category.
And helped them immensely. And the main thing that was also this part where we were highly vulnerable at that point. As devotees.
As were millions of Baba's devotees.
Though as devotees, we were all very,
very
clear
vulnerable.
In our minds, especially our family, that Swami doesn't need a medium to talk to us. But still repeatedly when I kept receiving calls for help, saying that Swami has come in their dream and Swami has spoken to them, asking us to come and help them. And you know the kind of life which we have led.
Right.
Anything for Swami at any moment was our main intent.
For Swami.
Yeah.
Provided it was genuinely for Swami.
Right.
And what we saw there, patients, they didn't need this kind of hand-holding.
Right.
So we trained a batch of ladies there to do what we did here.
Right.
Without connecting that with anything which is happening now on the scene of people impersonating Swami.
Baba.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was no connection whatsoever. But around that time is when we were also introduced to this boy. The boy, in fact, he came repeatedly to our house, saying that Swami has sent him to us with different messages. First, he wanted to meet my son, and then he wanted to meet me. And then, of course, he met the entire family. And at that point, he was just an old student of Swami's college. Nothing to do with the person he is now. And he said, Swami wants for whatever the good work he started, for us to get together and give away 50% of the company's profits towards service courses.
Of your company, Lotus Energy.
No.
I think we have to correct this right now. Right. Lotus Energy Systems has got nothing to do with this
the
boy. That is our company,
originally
started by Swami. A separate company was set up by this boy called Lotus Energy Solutions. So that is a different company. And this company which you were talking about, Lotus Energy Systems, Private Limited, that is the company where only my husband, my son and I are the directors. Nobody else is involved.
Just going back into that, you know, Lotus Energy Systems was the company formed in
77.
Yes.
And that still stays, and that was never been touched. It still maintains its own.
I see.
There is nobody else other than the three of us.
But is the one with the solutions which has.
Then what happened during this period was 2012 when we got involved with the hospitals on. This concept of wanting to set up a clean energy company, that's fine. And I said, let's form a new company called Lotus Energy Solutions. So they use just the name Lotus. Of course, anybody is free to use the name as long as the government gives its access. So that company was where this boy was a director and several others. You know, I used to be in the corporate world when I came back from the US.
Right.
But I found that the corporate world was not quite what I felt at ease after having come to be with Swami. And I told Swami, Swami, this is not for me.
Right.
And he said, you start your own. And that's when he gave the name Lotus in 77 and started and, you know, been existing that way. So when this thing happened, the other company was also to be run on the same lines. It was the first company that we said would give away, built into its articles of association, to give 50% of its profits for charitable causes, which is something that was new in the Indian corporate sector. So we were thrilled about this whole thing that Swami is taking it to a new level. And
at that point, we were made to believe that it was for whatever Swami had already set up in his lifetime.
Not for the new project that would be announced, dime a dozen every day.
No, we had no inkling about that at all.
So, it was because you have to give back and it has to grow and Swami's physical form is not there anymore. So that this company, it will definitely prosper and 50% of it will be fed back into, that is what we were made to believe. And that's the only reason why my son and my husband got involved in it at that point.
And being from the energy side, Swami said, well, because of the environment, the energy thing is going to change. And he said more use of renewables like solar and wind and natural gas would be the fuel of choice, which is going to be the clean energy. Right. And it was very, very inspiring.
When you say Swami said, what do you mean?
I mean, when I listened, so...
Like when the first girl contacted us about started a counseling department in Raipur.
Right.
Some of it was some messages she's received in a dream, and some of it is when she sits in meditation, she is able to intuitively...
Did you believe that?
I think we did, because of what we saw, the work which had been set up. Yes, we did believe it.
You believe it in the context of things. We believed in the context of the Raipur Hospital, and we knew the Raipur Hospital was happening, and they were very keen to set up a counseling department. So we said that, you know, things are falling into a pattern there. Wherever maybe the source of Swami is, what shall we say, we analyzed it within ourselves. Is this the right thing to do for us? And we felt, yes, if help is needed, we certainly will go there and help. Same thing with the company also. See, we are living in a world which is crying for pollution, the environment, climate and all that. What can you do about changing that? Secondly, you are living in a world of corporate greed.
Right.
So when this was started, it was an ideal thing for us to...
So the narrative was very suitable because it spoke to your heart.
It spoke to our heart. And
then you responded to it.
We responded. And so the first group which was brought in were all people whom we recognized as Swami's students.
Would you say the same thing today when you look back? The cause was genuine?
No, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
So we've signed off from the entire thing.
What Swami,
Swami
quote unquote wanted us to do in 2012, we were already known very well as a company for its clean reputation. Although we were a very small company.
Yeah. Your own company.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's written up in Satyam Shivam Sundaram from volume 6 or something about Lotus Energies. So we had that part of it. But when we saw that the purpose for which it was going to be used by the other directors was going to be going in a different direction.
Which is what?
The concept was more about commercialized. Going back to the same old way of doing business.
Whatever happened to the 50% for existing
that
projects?
That was there in the background, but they never thought about it ever materializing. And we knew that the conversation started drifting towards how they were going in for donations. See, it was against what Swami ever did.
Right.
The moment we saw that happening, we knew definitely this is not Swami's energy.
This is not.
We've known Swami, and he was dead against anybody spreading out their hands and asking people for money.
So have you parted ways with this?
Yes, of course, completely.
And was the parting difficult, complicated?
It is complicated because whenever you have a company, you know, you've got to go through some. So we've now signed off from everything for the last couple of years.
Three years.
See, we have seen the hospitals being built here, and I have been tutored under people like Colonel Jogarao.
Directly and under Swami.
Under Swami.
Personally.
Yes.
No. Second level, I'm saying.
Right.
So we knew how contractors have to be. But there we saw that it really everything was not being hunky-dory there in terms of how things were being done. And this is what put Vidya there and me quite a bit off. We pointed out certain things which were irregularities which was not liked.
So, Geeta ji, I want to hear your perspective on this experience. What have you learned from it?
I think what I learned was a good amount, Karuna ji. See, when we lost Swami and after his Mahasamadhi, I think we started reaching out instead of reaching within. That was a big mistake, is what I learned. And the moment someone came to just reach out and say, this is the message Swami has for you, having been with Swami all these years, I think innately I wanted to listen to that.
Yeah, just hold on to something.
I just wanted to hold on to something. So when somebody came and said, the goal of whatever they were saying seemed very much in tune with what Swami would normally have done.
Yeah, the message was well camouflaged.
Yes. So we just got sucked into it initially. I was the first one to step away from this, from our family, because I realized things were just not right. Something was not right. So I stopped visiting, you know, wherever they had the bhajans and because we were constantly invited, constantly asked to be present and seen in public. But then something was not quite right innately. So by then, as I said, when we start meditating and connecting to Swami within, we don't need any crutches anymore. So we don't need to look out to hold on to something, right? Because that force is deep within is what I have learned, to stop looking outside. This was a big learning experience for me.
The end doesn't justify the means.
No matter what.
No matter what. But if the end is for a noble cause, you are initially inspired because the means have not been put into place yet. It's something that is still not yet taken place. You've got a vision and you're only embarking on the mission. For us, the first step was we saw part of it because we saw rapidly the Raipur Hospital coming up as something as the end. And the means at that point was also good because the way they had gotten the whole thing going. So we were for some time very much supporting that. The same mission was to be undertaken for this company also. But companies on this scale cannot be done overnight. It has a gestation period. And the point about this is the people who control it should be remain in control all the way through to achieve the... You can't get it started and then start interfering and changing the...
Goalpost. On an ongoing basis.
And then at that point when you are traversing this journey, then you start seeing that what you had started off is not what exactly is happening. Then you stop back. And that is where Swami, I think, really helped us to start looking within. Because that little stabilizing time had also happened for a couple of years for us to get away from the physical dependence on Swami to start depending on ourselves. And when we did that through our own deep meditation every day and questioning, see, everything Swami would always tell us, ask yourself, is this what Swami wants?
And when you asked, posed that question to yourself, what was the answer?
Then what? That was the answers that were coming out. If this is not what is dharmic and when you started with, you have no place there. And for me, the dharma was the ultimate test, you know.
But I think looking at it from a bigger picture, Karunaji, whatever it is that was a learning, and
right,
I think that would never have happened if this involvement wasn't there.
Now
we have learned something. We've
in
got
hindsight,
tools.
Hindsight. Yes,
so we can use it in the company in the right way, in a dharmic way.
And I think maybe your experience was meant to guide many other people who might fall into this trap simply because of their love for Swami and their emotional vulnerability in light of his physical absence.
I sincerely hope so.
Yes. Over many generations, you have served Swami in many ways. Yet perhaps the most important of them is your sharing of this story. Now, Mr. Rao, you're a man of much experience. You've seen the world. You have served the mission from inside out, along with your mother, your father, your brother-in-law, your cousins, and your immediate family. I ask you this question. If you have a piece of advice for people who are getting these invites, as you got, and who are thinking that this is just Swami's mission continuing, what would you tell them?
In one very simple sentence, look into yourself, examine what is being told to you about this Swami's mission. And then ask yourself that question, is this what Swami really wants? And is this the right way to do it? What answer you get out of that would be the answer that you would have to take the path forward.
Not to be gullible.
Not to be. You have to go back inside. You have to ask that question within you. This is not Western. You're talking about Swami devotees, right? Those who have been exposed to Swami. Ask yourself honestly, when you talk about doing service, Swami has always mentioned, service comes with a touch of ego. It is selfless service that Swami wants. So when you want to do service, think, is this going to be selfless service that I'm going to be involved in?
You did not find yourself involved in selfless service?
In the beginning, it was selfless service. But when I started looking at what the others were, then I found that if I am going to go along with what my fellow directors want in this company, then it is not going to be. I'm going to be serving not what Swami calls as dharma, which would not be selfless.
Good for you, Mr. Rao, that you had the realization.
Yes. This is the realization Swami, which I realized it maybe perhaps a little late, but the learning had to happen. But if somebody wants to gain from that learning and if a proposition is made to them, let them just think this, is this going to be a selfless service? Because what I have seen or perceived now of the thing is, if I say, well, I'll do service, but in the process I'm getting myself in a high visibility zone. And if that is what I'm really craving for, to be positioned in the limelight, then it's not selfless service. It's going to be a very short-term gain. So you have to be truthful to yourself. You have to make that honest appraisal of your own want about what is the seva that I'm supposed to be doing, which people are asking me to get into. Is that truly going to be a selfless service in which I'm not going to be gloating of my own ego or in any way? I'm going to do this so that I can serve Swami.
The bottom line, Karunaji, is when you rest at night, you've got to rest in peace, not worried at this stage and phase in our life. If everything is pure and straight and clean, then we'll continue having the kind of rest that we have always had because our conscience is clear. But being involved in something where your heart says no and you're forced to do something because unknowingly you got sucked into something, I feel you have to have the strength in you to just draw the line and say, I'm out of it completely.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier the word, don't be gullible.
Yes.
Could you elaborate, please?
See, when people say so many things about Swami and you do believe that, yes, that's going to be the final product in
you
terms of...
You mean like projects that they keep
announcing? Yes, the various projects. But I think as far as a company is concerned is all that I can talk about. The goals which they had set for the company... And the way they started bringing in new people whom we didn't know at all, who were not Sai devotees, but who had been people in the world of finance, managing finance, and who did not have what Swami would expect from a team. You know, like we were talking to you about how Swami handpicked people with true integrity to be part of the organization.
And to lay the by-rules, the laws,
yes.
everything,
yes.
the foundation of this organization that is going to survive the test of time for thousands of years to come.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I didn't find that in the new directors who were brought into this company.
So a lot of red flags.
Yes. So definitely we didn't want to be part of that.
So the decision to move out and disengage with this big drama or charade that was going on, in your opinion, did it come unanimously to all of you as a family because you live together and your son is involved in it, or did you have to work on each other and convince each other?
No, I think it just came naturally to each one of us because I think I was the first to step out of the whole thing and I stopped being involved in anything to do with the movement. But because of a commitment of completing jobs, which Lotus Energy Systems Company had taken, both my son and husband had to continue till they finished the project. So once that was over, even they realized that innately every one of us knew that things were not going in the right direction. So I don't think we had to influence each other because it was right there in front of us. Because when somebody starts behaving like Swami, somebody starts, you know, that part of it is something which none of the old devotees can stumble. We cannot accept that. Because up until that moment, all these things were not happening.
And imagine one minute you're producing Lingam and Vibhuti
yes.
in a very, very contrived fashion. Next minute you're a director of a company that is being driven by a totally different motive.
Yes.
How do you reconcile all this?
It is very, very difficult because what we saw was a student coming in, touching our feet and saying, Swami has asked me to do. This is the picture I'm giving you.
Right.
That's how it was. So whatever help the boy needed, we extended our help.
Out of the goodness of your
heart.
Out
of the goodness of our heart and out of, you know, well, a Sai student is coming here seeking help, so render help. But we never even dreamt at that point that we would be taken advantage of. So along the way, as time rolled by, we realized that people were being brought in and the company was being created and the company really had a very good goal, which, you know, was to feed the existing trust or, you know, the existing hospitals where we were already involved in. And the organization where my father-in-law and grand-uncle were involved in. So, I mean, naturally we said, oh my God, yes, Swami's physical form is not here, but if this is going to be for a good cause, for Swami's cause, we'll do anything. Like, I'll just give you a small example, Karunaji. When he was being wheeled into the OT, the operation theater at Malaya Hospital.
Many years ago.
I had taken permission from the doctor to just pray for him before he just went in.
Right.
And they did grant me the permission, and I was just praying for him. And the only thing which came out of his lips, because his voice was very feeble at that point, is make sure that the generator is delivered on time for Swami's new building.
Because I believe that was one of the many tasks that Swami entrusted you both
yes.
with.
And he said, make sure, because that was supposed to be our birthday gift to Swami. He said, make sure that that happens. And this was on July 6th.
20 years ago.
And we didn't even know whether he was going to come out of that operation theater alive. Imagine a man who doesn't know whether he was going to come out alive of the operation theater. His last wish, that was his priority.
That the task assigned to him must be completed for Swami.
So he was looking at something which is much larger than his own physical.
So I guess you both made very good candidates for such a team to look for. totally committed, anything Swami, ready to do it. So you were ideal and you were the poster girl and the poster boy to lend a stamp of legitimacy, because your presence would make people think, oh, look at Umesh Rao and Geeta, they are there. If they are there, there must be something to it. And you didn't realize you were being played.
No, we didn't realize that. And the soil was so fertile at that moment.
Yeah, because of our emotions.
Yes, and of us wanting to do our best for Swami, you know, like as always, give our best.
How does it feel to come home now to Prashanthi?
Lovely.
Coming back physically to Prashanthi. See, this is again Swami's miracle, that my granddaughter, we had absolutely given her a choice of school.
And colleges.
When she finished her 10th standard. We didn't ask her to join over here or anything. But she made up her mind herself, because Vidyadhar had studied, yes, I want to study in my father's school.
It was a child's choice.
It was her choice, totally.
And she drew you all back home.
I mean, that was what Swami drew her. Swami, along with her, he drew us back.
And also, I think by then, we had kind of come to accept that coming to Puttaparthi needn't necessarily be missing Swami's physical presence. Mm-hmm. So we had also kind of matured along the way over the past few years. So that is also an important feature.
Right. Because a lot of trauma for a lot
yes,
of people.
Yes, it was a lot of trauma to come back to see Swami's absence, which no doubt we were preparing in our mind, but you do miss that smile, you do miss that contact. But then we have now reconciled ourselves as well as accepted that he's far, far, you know, greater than just that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the last things that I had with him was 2010 was when we made the presentation at Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a hallmark event for us, because to get a certification from Mayo Clinic was something, and that was not just that we made a presentation. Mm. It was a regular research conference that Mayo has every biennial and event it is. And they had invited for presentations, and typically you submit abstracts and they go through, you know.
Right. Approval process.
Approval, a committee for approval. And our abstract got selected. Because I even just asked Swami, should I submit this? Yeah, you do it, it'll happen. Conference was in about 2010, end of it, or November, December. It got accepted, and then the response to it was so huge. Matter of fact, if you've seen it in our website, you'll see towards the end, there is one little thing there about the Mayo.
Yes.
So you click on that, you will see the audience response.
To your presentation.
To our presentation.
Yes.
So you should read the audience response to what they talk about Swami's. See, that was such a huge thing to get.
The Sai counseling way.
Yes. And so when I came and gave that to Swami, he was so happy about the whole thing. This was in about, I think, in January of 2011, because all the results came out then.
And it was only a matter of 4 weeks before Bhagwan left the body.
Yeah. Yes.
I see.
And having it, when we could interact with him physically, then suddenly to lose that physical contact.
Big vacuum.
Big vacuum.
See, all millions of us were devastated, but all millions of us did not have that physical access to Bhagwan. You know, especially if you were a girl child in his university, you had learned to depend on the Sai within, because we did not have the opportunity to go up to the veranda and ask Swami everything.
Yes.
So half our life we spent sitting in front of his image and praying in our hearts and looking for answers. But people like yourselves, who were directly involved in the Sai mission, and were interacting with him on a one-on-one basis.
Yes.
For you, it was a very different transition, I guess.
Yes. Because it was, you know, for us, the interaction which still lingered in our memories and was very strong was not what happened. Like I told you, that there are three different phases of Swami when he came up to the point of 1960s.
Yes.
That was when the avatarhood just started making its presence, worldwide presence felt. And then 65 to 85 was when the formative years were there.
Mm.
And 85 was the beginning when the big project started, and that kicked off a different era.
Yeah.
And we didn't get physically that close to Swami in terms of Swami visiting our house without any announcement like what we were sharing, which was so routine and matter of fact to us. You see, that kind of a physical proximity, having enjoyed that, to having totally losing that, was something that was a very, very traumatic experience, which took its own time to settle down.
But I truly believe without Swami's will, nothing can happen, Karunaji.
And
so this detour, you
detour,
feel,
yes, also I also feel it is with a purpose, because now you've gained some knowledge.
And you're able to maybe guide many more people, and you're capable of articulating the experience with a certain degree of authenticity and credibility.
Right.
See, sometimes you don't know what Swami has.
I mean, the actual Swami, when he wills it, you know, he's omnipresent. And so I think he kind of makes us learn certain things, come out of something, so that you'll be able to create what he genuinely wants us to create.
Good. Now, as a woman of such dynamic, practical knowledge and wisdom, Geetaji, what would you tell a lot of emotionally vulnerable people who are getting drifted and sucked into this unfortunate situation? Because they get a phone call and they get told, Swami has picked your name, only you're invited, nobody else should come. And it's only a select group of people. There's a sari and a gold bracelet and a box of sweets waiting and all that in a private interview. What guidance would you give them?
I think we all need to stick to what we have been exposed to when Swami was in his physical form. Stick to whatever opportunities of service is possible within our own area, because I personally feel through seva, through service of pure intent, Swami's presence is felt by each one of us, Karunaji. And this can happen wherever our students are, close to their residence, whatever is available. There's no need for them to go running after gold bracelets and saris, for sure. The devotees deeply want is to stay in connect with Swami. And I personally feel service, the path of karma, is definitely a true path to be able to remain in connect with Swami. And that has been the experience, not just of me and my family, but of all the counselors who come to the counseling department. So the moment these opportunities to serve with pure intent is made possible by the organization, the devotees, I don't think there's any need for them to go anywhere else. Because all that they are desperately wanting is to stay in connect with Swami. And I personally feel, like for instance, you enjoy doing this work. I enjoy doing the counseling. I enjoy teaching the nursing students because I feel Swami's presence at every point. And so it's the same about all our 33 counselors. They let go of everything else on that one day of seva and they come traveling all that ways. For some, it takes 2 hours to come to Whiteville. Why do they do that? Because they do feel Swami's presence through that work. So if we can create these work opportunities, be it for any devotee, I truly believe they will be where Swami wants them to
be. Your final thoughts?
I think that's probably the bottom line, is that Swami has always said service, service and service and selfless service. And I think there are a lot of people who are also yearning to do this, the girls at Anandpur, the students over here. And it might be that we must possibly give them more opportunities to be able to do this also. I see that's happening with the organization.
But is there a dearth of opportunity? The Satya Sai Seva organization is so vibrant. Everybody can find something very constructive to do. Then there is, you know, Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini. People can remotely volunteer and the Seva organization. There is so much to do.
Maybe sending an invite to the devotees and creating that platform for them would be the next step. Because, Swami has set up such a beautiful organization with so many different aspects of Seva. But continuous connect, I think there's been a disconnect. And that's why the moment they receive an invite from somewhere, they feel tempted to go there.
I think when we say we have all these opportunities, as you said, various platforms, sometimes I think we need to go that extra mile. Sometimes I feel that our Whitefield Hospital is neglected. How many people have come and visited the hospital, seen the counseling in action? You know, I was listening to that presentation of the Dhanvantri Awards to the doctors.
Right.
And the first doctor who spoke from Hyderabad, he mentioned about that we should have spirituality in dimension in our medical. And I said, he hasn't probably been to our hospital, which is the truth. And
the awareness.
The awareness. So I said, that's that extra mile we have to go. So when we talk about projects, that's the beauty about what Shravan Kumar and a couple of our managers did, was they have gone physically to where the rehab programs are being done. Physically, they have participated and seen what is being done. I think maybe that might be the extra mile that has to be taken to get more people exposed to what is happening. A simple thing, like even if the Anandpur girls were to talk to our nursing college girls and ask them, what is it that you have gained out of the EHV program? Because they are a professional group there. the interaction in itself would bring.
It's providing these opportunities, I think, these little pockets of opportunities, and making that awareness spread, saying that, hey, there's a need, so fill up the need. And that's exactly what's happening in the other camp.
Mm-hmm. We need all those little last mile connectivity, getting all the things tied together.
Because they're just longing for that.
And perhaps that same vacuum and longing and looking for some recognition and opportunity to do something which they feel is meaningful is what is drawing them. And then little do they realize, as you did, you know, maybe you had the maturity to see what a young person may not sometimes have.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is it's been an eye-opener for me to sit across from both of you and to listen to your experiences. And I deeply appreciate your candor and your honesty and the humility with which you have shared this journey of your entire extended family over four generations, and the extra mile that you have gone in the last mile connectivity to serve Swami and to stay true to Him. I think all your experiences give us much to think about and much to learn from, especially the last chapter. And I'm so grateful that you did not mind my asking you that question.
No, not at all, because it's...
appreciate it very deeply, sir.
Thank you very much, Karuna. It's been really a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Likewise. But listening to Swami is so edifying, and listening to His glory and His life, the unending saga of love.
Yes.
Well, I'm really inspired by everything you have shared, and on behalf of all our listeners and for generations to come for whom you have laid it out with such clarity, thank you very much.
We thank you also for giving us the opportunity.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You're tuned to Radio Sai's Asia stream on the fourth day of January 2018, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Sai studios in Prashanthi Nilayam, India, where the time right now is exactly 19 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. You just heard part 3 of Tryst with Divinity with Mrs. Geeta Umesh and Mr. Umesh Rao of Bangalore. I eagerly look forward to your feedback to this special episode of Tryst with Divinity. Please direct your emails to us at listener@radiosai.org. With that, I am now delighted to welcome my studio guests for a live discussion this morning. I have with me Mr. Abhimanyu Kaul from Canada. Abhimanyu Kaul is an education consultant and an author, and he's based out of Toronto, Canada. I also have Mr. Naveen Patel, a biochemist from Leicester, United Kingdom, with me. And I welcome you, Brother Naveen. Sai Ram, and good morning.
Sai Ram.
And good morning to you, Abhimanyu.
Sai Ram, thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to have both of you brothers with us. I invited you specifically because... the last several New Year days, this year, New Year was so vibrant and robust. It was like a huge family reunion for all of us. And particularly so because such a whole lot of Swami's alumni was here in very large numbers with their families, children, three generations, all coming to the Lotus Feet to usher in the New Year at the Lotus Feet. So what can you tell us about this recent reunion?
This was like an old time, I would say, if I start off. We had students, I think we were over 600 of us. And with families together, we were around 3,000.
Wow.
It was a big thing. And secondly, very important to note is that we have alumni ranging from year 1970, which is our Naveen brother, to 2017.
Wow. So imagine. That's quite a range.
Quite a range. People are not
47
even born.
47 years.
Yes. And even though I come from the first batch.
Right.
To the last batch that has just come out of the university, you don't feel that, you know, I am a sort of much older person and they are much younger. I probably know more than them. No. All feels so equal. And this is the beauty of the Sati Sai alumni group, which is very unique in that way.
Actually, something is magical about this place. The moment you land here, you suddenly start forgetting your age. You
know, we start
running with our students, and you know, it's such a contagious happiness that we really, if you don't look at our hair, so I guess we can still join the college. It's a fun. It was really beautiful. Like you can feel Swami everywhere. It was same except for His physical presence, there was nothing different. Mm. It was phenomenal.
And I guess the generation gap just gets wiped off because everybody calls everybody brother.
Definitely.
Even if you're somebody's dad's age and somebody's young enough to be your kid, you're just brothers when you're together.
Definitely.
And we have combination of father and son both as alumni coming.
Wow.
So those also are there.
Intergenerational.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's a fantastic place, you know.
Where else can you find something?
You know, and you feel so belonged here. This place is like our, Mandir is like playground for us. And it's so comforting. And it's something puzzling also that how can you feel so comfortable even after 30 years, you know. But it's, as Swami rightly said, you know, this is your home. Keep coming. And I think that's what is happening. We all look forward to these days.
And time and time again, Swami says, this is your home. Come back whenever you feel like it. But in 2009 or 2010, Swami did mention, come for this alumni. This is for the 31st December and 1st of January. And this is your home. And come back.
And he said, so bring your family.
And bring your family, yeah, definitely. And he says, your family also will be part of this group.
Hmm.
So the family is also craving for this. The whole year they wait for it, just to come for this 31st and 1st January, so that they can be part of this big celebration that we have.
And he used to ask, how many ladies are here, how many parents are here, how many children are here. So, and then he will give prasadam separately.
Yes.
That's what he used to do. He would target it and then send it, okay, this is for children, this is for mothers, this is for fathers. So it's a lot of nostalgia here attached to this day, you know.
Yes.
I can easily imagine. And when you speak of this intergenerational bonding that happens here, even the drama that you presented, that was presented on 31st night, I guess, by the primary school alumni, that also depicted the same theme of a young father who's a former student of Baba, having to make a determination about the future of his child. And then he decides the child should come to Swami's school and for some very strong reasons. So this connection that all of us have to the motherboard is something nothing and nobody can, I guess, ever change.
See, I was chatting with some boys here and asking them for the reason for them that, you know, they said, you know, however the best school outside you may find, but there is something unique about Bhagwan's school in Puttaparthi. And that cultural foundation or a character foundation which you get here, that is kind of difficult outside. And then they have to sacrifice so much to provide that environment. So one boy said it very beautifully. He said, it is a matter of selfishness of ours that we keep our children to ourselves. And he thought that, hey, for the betterment of my child, I can't be selfish to hold him to myself. I must let him go and experience this life and feel the joy and, you know, of Puttaparthi. Otherwise, it will be selfish on me to hold on to him just because I love him so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And I realized, but that gives them an excuse to come back again and again, so they're happy.
Yeah, because, you know, as a parent, your separation anxiety can prevent you from making a decision which is in the best interest of your child. And as a parent also, you need to have a certain degree of maturity to know a way to draw the line, because Swami often reminded us that we, as parents, we are only trustees or custodians of children who were given to us by God.
Yes,
and that child has his or her own destiny to play out. So sometimes we come in the way by imposing our presence in a larger-than-life manner beyond a certain point. And I think sometimes also culturally as Indian parents, we tend to be very, very
possessive,
very possessive of our children. And Swami is teaching us such an important spiritual lesson. But brothers, I'd like to go back because both of you, if I remember right from the video I have seen, both of you were present when this tradition began.
Yes.
Yes.
So can we revisit the history? You mentioned that Swami said, come again and so on. How did it all just get started?
Should I start or?
Yeah.
Or sister? Yes. You may know, sister, that we had, originally Swami used to have this kingdom of Mother Sai and kingdom of Satya Sai.
Yeah, for the ladies.
Long time.
Yeah.
For the sisters, it was Mother Sai. Satya Sai was. For some reasons, that those organizations were dissolved. So for many years, we had nothing as an alumni body. And it so happened, I think, in 1998, in that range, late 90s, we all got together and thought, like, something has to happen because we are not anymore students. We were not even allowed to sit in the mandir. So there was something happening that we thought that we suddenly become nobody. And how do we approach Baba? So that is where the discussion happened. And a consensus came out that only after we have done some kind of service, that we have even the face to go and tell him that, Swami, please give us some place. So in that excuse, it was a very informal message which went around. And I clearly remember 75 of us got together in Puttaparthi. And a very...
So you wanted a piece of real estate on Adarshan ground, is it?
Yeah. We wanted to come back.
Because this is our home.
Okay.
And Swami is ours. So why not claim our?
Absolutely. It's your inheritance.
It is.
Absolutely.
And we wanted to be back with him, you know. And it was like he was not looking at us. So he said, you are now X. So it was so difficult. And I guess we all came. Just to cut the story short, we selected a village which is almost 13 to 15 kilometers from here, not too far. But somehow, in his whole developmental plan, those cluster of villages were neglected. It was a divine will. I think he wanted to give us that grace mark. So within 2 days, we converted that school. We made a small road in it. We connected it to highway. The school building was broken. We fixed it up. We built it up. We built a new classroom. We even appointed a teacher there. Our boys were settled now, so they had connections in the government, and somebody was in the government area. So he got a school teacher appointed, and we fixed the ground for them. We fixed the temple. It was a broken temple. We installed a murti, and we did a first aid for them there. So, like, you can imagine that we fast-tracked the whole village in 24 hours. And then we all landed in Puttaparthi to Darshan of Swami. But we had no guts to even tell him that. We had just sent letters to him that, Swami, we are here. We just need your blessing. And where we sit today, near the garage side, that was a place where we were given to sit on Thursday. Okay, today you all can sit here collectively. And the villagers, they wanted to say thank you. We said, don't thank us. We have come from Swami, so just say gratitude to Baba. So we put them in a bus. A whole bus load of villagers came here. And they sat on the other side of the darshan. And Swami came straight to them. He wasn't looking at us. He came straight to them and he said, so my boys have helped you. If you need anything, tell them.
Oh, nice endorsement.
It was a clear, you know, we were laughing at it and said, God, he didn't look at us. He didn't talk to us. But look how he works. And he went straight to them and he said, so anything else you want? And they said, Swami, water is missing. And immediately he instructed an engineer and he said, within 15 days, these villages must have water. That was the only thing which we could not provide. And we had told him, tell Swami. And he did it. That also. And then he walks up to us. And then he gave us a very beautiful talk in which he explained about the how to do village work, how to do service activities. 45 minutes he spoke.
So standing then, outside.
Standing outside.
Wow.
It was a phenomenal thing. He actually scolded us for not being disciplined in one area. Some boys were standing and talking for 5 extra minutes. And he pointed that. So he did those things, and that's the time when he gave us the spot to sit. But now we wanted to organize ourselves. So it is a very nice story, if you may. So we said we wanted to call ourselves something, and we had no guts to say ourselves Kingdom of Satyasai again. That is his name. He has to give it. But somehow whenever we approached him with that name, he never responded. So we got a feeler that I don't think somebody wants that name again. So we were wondering what name to put. So somebody says, say, let's write Old Boys, because that's how we are called. So we wrote Old Boys and gave it to Swami, and Swami said, old, I don't need old people. So again we had to think, and we thought that, okay, we call ourselves ex-students. So we wrote him ex-student. He said X, and he made a big X cross on the paper with his finger.
Non-existent.
Mm-hmm. So he said, oh God. So X also is gone. So then we had a little discussion ourselves. We were thinking, what should we call ourselves? Who are we? That question came, who are we? And we said, we are Sai students. And we will remain Sai students forever.
That's right.
So then the name
this
came.
Lifetime
okay,
title.
Let's call ourselves the Sai student. And that then we gave it to Baba. And he sweetly smiled and took it.
Oh, nice.
So that's how we got our name, the Satya Sai students.
Beautiful.
And then we suddenly it happened that it so happened we met in November. And it got extended to December, that meeting. And our first informal presentation to Swami happened on January 1st. And next year again it happened. So it was 2 years, I think, we did informally here. with people will come and we don't know whether we'll get permission or not. So there's a lot of drama there. And somehow that, you know, Swami indicated that is your day. And in fact, he stopped from any other people from the world to take that days. So after 25th, there is no other function happening in Puttaparthi.
He
so
himself he suggested that I will spend time with you on 31st and 1st of January. So this is why we feel that onus on us, that we need to be here on those 2 days to fulfill our side of the contract. Swami will always fulfill his contract. But as the Sai students, we need to do that.
And on January 2nd, he would call the families.
Yes.
Everybody. That was our gathering. So January 2nd became meeting with Swami informally.
I know how hard people tried to get a family pass to join this group.
Yes.
Because there was an opportunity in those years towards the end of Bhagwan's physical presence. It was very hard to ever have an opportunity to be in a situation where you're in the same physical, like Purnachandra auditorium for
yes.
an interview.
Oh, that was fantastic.
What do you recall of that?
In fact, he gave one day a full lunch for everybody. We were around 4,000 people here at that time. And Swami was so happy, he went round line by line. Everybody he visited, he was going line. He took almost an hour visiting everybody. He spoke to all boys. He looked at their children sitting next to them. He asked the children's names. He asked about the wives, what are they doing. So it was a fantastic interaction with Swami. With every boy he went around talking. He went line by line, line by line. And then he went even to the parent side, he took a round. And then he was so happy, he said Chiranjirao, and he organized lunch for all of us. And Mr. Chiranjirao was himself standing at the door. It was a very humbling experience. His folded hand, he was receiving everybody. He said, Swami could not come. He has asked me, I am just on his behalf, I am supposed to receive you. It was an amazing feeling. And what a variety of menu, you remember?
Definitely.
We had like almost 10-12 dishes there on that day.
It makes you think that, you know, years ago, Swami used to have meals with us in the hostel.
Right.
And all these things brought back those memories and lovely feeling.
So yes. Clearly, brother, it's very important to you this day.
Definitely.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And just to narrate a small incident there.
Yes, please.
My wife was sitting with the family group and our students were sitting separately. Swami went through the students and then he went straight to where the ladies were sitting, where my wife was sitting, and asked us something. And my wife was just flabbergasted. How did Swami know that my husband is sitting there? And that is my husband. You know, she was just taken aback. For a few moments, she was just knocked off, basically.
I see.
So, you know, Swami knows the connections that we have in
of
between.
Of course.
Because Swami says, you are not part of my family. So
as the head of our family, he has to know us all.
See, he used this January 1st, an occasion not only to connect with us, but to guide us also. This January 1st was a very important day he made it for alumni. It was just exclusively dedicated for us. So he would start calling and asking about boys from 25th. How many are coming? Registrations have happened. Do you have space to live? Do you have rooms for that? So there was like whole Mandir was kind of cornered for us. And he would keep inquiring. And 2007, I think, 7 or 8, he invited, in fact, he said, I will organize the function. And afternoon, we all met in Puranchandra. And we had a tentative program, but we are not sure what Swami's plan, because he did not tell us to organize. He just said, organize something and meet. So we all came there. And then he brought the All India President and our guest here, like Mr. Chakravarti, Mr. GV, I think,
Right,
sir, also there. So a couple of them he brought. And All India President spoke to us. He was instructed to talk about the organization. And that was a kind of a formal invite to the alumni to join the organization. And Bhagwan gave us that a clear instruction that he wanted all of the alumni to support and join the organization.
And to participate in various
be part of the organization.
Be part of the organization and help.
Be part of Swami's movement. And that was very important.
And we can see that happening, right? It's playing out. A lot of students in many parts of India as well as around the world are now actively involved in Sai activities. Go ahead, brother.
In United Kingdom,
right?
I'm very proud to say that the president of the United Kingdom is one of our alumni, Dr. Veerbhadra Rao. Previous to him, it was Kiran Patel. But this is what, and many of the other posts within the organization in the United Kingdom are, the alumni have taken those posts, like the spiritual coordinator, and so many other posts.
See, from the Central Trust onwards, we have a representation, if you look at it. We have 2 persons in Central Trust also.
Who are ex-students, two trustees. And then it so the whole of the ashram has a large presence of ex-students who are part of the Sai Sanidhi. Our hospitals are have a lot of
totally
members who are ex-students of Baba, men and women.
Yeah.
The university is full of them. The Satya Sai Seva organization has many key people who are former students of Baba.
Yes, they have organization heads.
So I think Swami just built
internationally
it.
Also the same way
same
is happening.
Same thing, exactly.
Yes.
As he said in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
US also, there are many boys who have become central president, regional presidents, zonal presidents.
Yeah.
They're all covering that.
The reason why that is that Swami knows the ethos that he has put us, was given us. We are taking that message to the devotees.
It's a huge responsibility for us as a student body, don't you think?
Definitely.
I think we need constant reminder for ourselves.
Yes, and that is why coming to Prashanthi Nilayam is important.
It's so important.
Definitely, definitely.
You need a reality check, you need a spiritual recharge, you need a moment for personal audit and to just...
You get grounding back, you know, like it's like as you said rightly, it's like audit also. Mm. And you come back,
Because so much has been given to us, and Baba said
so
that much
is
expected out of us. Exactly. And people look up to us, so all choices we make and the way we conduct ourselves is something that we should be extremely mindful of.
Oh, 100%.
Any action that we take as the alumni body or
individuals,
members of the alumni are being watched by the general public right across the world.
Yeah.
So we, as the alumni, have got to be doubly, if not more, very cautious of our actions, definitely.
I agree. Now, I have a question. I see, Swami does things so silently as he invited all of you to come back and then he, had a formal function with the elders in the ashram and the Seva organization to kind of formalize the induction of ex-students into greater, into roles of greater responsibility. These points of convergence to interact with the motherboard and come home and for this recharge and to stay connected. What are these? Because it's not only a once-a-year event anymore, isn't it?
No, not really. Actually, formally we come here twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
January 1st is the biggest event because that is kind of our meet. But we also meet in the mid-year, near August, July and August, we meet again here in Puttaparthi. And that is... I would say more or less an interaction with the alma mater. Because that's
Sri Satya Sai University.
And that is where it's our gratitude. Because there's the least we feel we can do is to help the institutions and the alma mater which has given us so much. Bhagwan has used that medium to make us what we are. So that is the time when formally we interact with the university and its staff and departments. In fact, there is a proper procedure now. Department-wise, also alumni are connected. So like a physics department, math department, the boys who are working and related to that, respectively, they will interact with them and look at the assessment of the needs and what we can. Because now, fortunately, by Baba's grace, we are all in a respectable positions around the industry. So it is very easy for us to bring the know-how and the sharing of knowledge happens. And in university is always the best place to learn back, you know, if we want to pick up something from happening here, so that we come. So I think that is the second day, that 2 days are formal in a year when we do come. Other than that, there are other activities which are happening locally.
Mm.
And as I said to you, because of Baba's instructions also, most of our activities are done through and with the organization.
Yes.
So that is our main working procedure. But especially in India, because the concentrated population is much more, especially in Bangalore, Hyderabad, Bombay,
Chennai,
these places where alumni also take up some activities on their own. But it is not restricted by that. We are always open and we engage with youth and the organization. Mm-hmm. So activities around the year are happening. Formally, if you ask me, twice we do come to Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm. Brother, did you want to add?
But basically, excuse me. In UK also, we have got our alumni spread across the country. And along with the youths and the other devotees, we do function. There are so many activities happening within the organization. And many times our alumni takes the leads on these sort of things.
Mm.
And the devotees, especially the youths, look forward to the input from the alumni groups.
I see. And I just want to add one thing here. I think perhaps you overlooked it, that our Satya Sai University is based on Swami's teachings that education is for life, not for earning a living. So we don't have campus recruitment happening when our graduates pass or complete their education. But it is the alumni that has facilitated a very nice and constructive process whereby our younger sisters and brothers, when they are graduating from Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, there is a fantastic support system to help them transition into the workplace. And this group is called Catalyst. I think Brother Abhimanyu and I and many of us are also part of it. And we assist our younger sisters and brothers with their resume preparation and with their interviewing skills.
Yeah.
And then we have a meet off-site in Bangalore where we ensure that all our brothers and sisters who are in eminent places in the corporate world or in other various organizations, and they bring their HR information and know-how, and if they have vacancies, they direct our younger sisters and brothers who are graduating to appropriate and potential employers, and a lot of recruitment and settling happens within a month of completing the studies because they have so many elders to personally go through their resume, fine-tune it, help them with practice interview skills. So we do career counseling from within the group. Elder sisters and brothers help the younger ones because we don't do campus recruitment. And I just want our listeners to know one thing. As much as the Satya Sai schools top as India's best performing schools, you won't see the name of our university when it comes to top universities in India in terms of, because we miss that one parameter in the criteria is the signing bonus of graduates. We don't keep track of that because we're not obsessed with which MBA got like 2 crore rupees signing bonus or 50 lakh rupees, because Swami said to look past that. We make sure our graduates get meaningful, useful, purpose-driven, enjoyable employment which matches their skill set. And very proud to say our brothers and sisters right now are amongst the who's who of the corporate world.
Certainly.
And but they're humble about it. When they come to Parthi, they don't wear their airs about themselves. They get on their feet and with their hands they do seva.
Sure.
Which is what you did this time. There was a new element of seva in this year's alumni reunion.
Yes.
Could you tell us about it, Brother Navin?
Yeah, basically, many of the alumni were asked what they wanted to do. And eventually we did find that we have got 4 canteens within Prashanthi Nilayam campus. We have got the West canteen, we have got the Southern, South Indian canteen, the North Indian canteen, and recently started the Anna. Nitya Annadhanam canteen. So they all wanted to be part of that. So we divided ourselves into these groups. And they served along with the other volunteers that they are regular volunteers who come from different states. And they had a lovely time and they felt they having come for the alumni meet, they fulfilled their duties in terms of seva and done a lot of work in that side as well. They felt something that they have achieved. They felt they were required here. So it's a wonderful feeling when you serve somebody without expecting something out of them. And many of the devotees also came back to them and said thank you very much, because they felt as though they were served such lovingly and kindly. That is the main thing behind this.
I think unless people experience the joy of seva, it's only a term for them. Only when you actually do it and you see how much happiness and gratification you get in the process of serving, you're the greatest beneficiary, then it becomes very cool for them.
And the other thing I also found is that, okay, that Alma and I were serving this way, but they may have had their own children, or their parents as well. And they came and joined in the seva as well. They felt so good about it.
So it became a family activity.
It became real family atmosphere. Mm.
I see. Now, Brother Abhimanyu, when you plan each year's reunion, what is the process and strategy? Do you have an advance team that comes, and how do you deliberate? Because you're all spread all over the world.
Actually, it's a very organic movement. Whosoever is kind of, you know, volunteer, it's like nobody has appointed anybody to do anything. It's a very naturally, if anybody is free, they take lead and we all follow that person.
So you don't have a president, a vice president, a secretary, a treasurer?
No, we don't have such things.
Good,
but we have
you.
An organization. We have an informal organization whose head is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. That is for sure. And then we have coordinators. And we have coordinators which are central coordinators and regional, which spread around the globe. But for the alumni meet, the inputs are given and taken from all over. We have an alumni body also which keeps chatting and informing. So if any new thought comes, we throw in that. And then anybody who is free and local take initiative. And that few boys who have taken initiative, they will come to Parthi. They will interact with the authorities to get clearances and whatever ideas are new. And then they will keep posting it and people keep getting feedbacks. But actually speaking, the collective preparation, like what you saw, the play of that standard, it's hardly 10 days, I would say, when the scripts are written and it's spread out to the boys. The boys volunteer for the roles and they come here a week ahead to just record it. And I think within 7 days to 10 days, the whole drama is ready. Hmm. And you can see the professional...
Very, lot of finesse, very nicely done.
Very, very nicely done, definitely.
Yeah. Very professional, even the music in the background, the mixing, the dialogues, the costumes, and the theme was fantastic.
Theme is fantastic. And I really wonder how they get this idea. It's all Swami's grace.
It's all Swami's grace.
Beautiful
definitely.
Dialogues.
You guys just download it. Plagiarize. We understand, we all do that, because we all depend on Swami as the source of everything.
Without which we don't exist.
Totally.
Yes. Hmm. If that number one drops from how many thousand million zeros that we have behind us, we are zeros, that's all. Swami is the only one for us.
There's another thing which I would just like to add here. You know, for the activities, Navin Bhai was telling about, one more thing, we used to go out and do village activities for years.
Hmm.
And for we realized very soon that organization in Puttaparthi and around have worked so well that the need has disappeared, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an urgency now in around Puttaparthi to do village work, because every village is Baba's grace. They know they are all prosperous in that manner.
Doing very well, yes.
So we used to do in a different varieties. Sometimes we'll do a quick checkup, medical checkup, or tree plantation and all that. So this year, because we wanted boys, suggested that they wanted to experience Puttaparthi and see different what Bhaiya explained. So this year we had one more small function on 31st in which they invited the teachers and the schools to come to Pathamandiram, the old mandir, morning of 31st, the whole day it was a function there. And there they interacted with them and they were given some nice counseling, training. It was a one day of kind of a union with those, because we didn't go to all the villages, so we invited them, their schools, to come down. So 31st was dedicated even for that. So we use the old mandir of Swami for that.
Very nostalgic, very nice.
Yeah.
And I do realize this kind of, to streamline activities that involve such a diverse and spread out group, it does require considerable amount of groundwork.
Yeah.
And I'm well aware that, you know, brothers like Muralidhar Bathena and Venkat Desikan and Ratan Kanal, who this year could not come, but Anindya Dasgupta, Niranjan Mudbidri, all of them have been working behind the scenes, and many more who I do not
definitely,
know of, because
yes.
I don't
there
belong.
So many. They are local.
There are so
here.
Many local brothers who are in Prashanthi Nilayam, who have very silently, which is the hallmark of how Swami likes things to be done.
That's right.
You know, the first thing, you don't go out there and want recognition and a crown. People just do the work and feel the satisfaction. And that brings so much joy and sense of like we are one family.
The person who's speaking or facing the camera would be like nobody, you know. Anybody can be put there.
Yeah.
But to put him there, there's so much of work which
has gone behind.
So many boys are doing that. You know?
Yeah.
Because I think that these people who are working, they know they're working it directly for Swami.
Yes.
They're not working under, say, a head of an organization, or, you know, they may be a chairperson or somebody like. They're not trying to please that person. They know my pleasing will be only to Swami and nobody else. And whatever I do, I've got to put my 110% into it. And that is why these things fruitify very well.
I have a question for both of you. You know, you say that, you know, they're reporting directly to Swami, working for Swami. And that seems to be the case with the vast majority of the alumni. But a few of your own fellow brothers sort of got distracted and detoured into different, areas where they seem to have lost that direct heart-to-heart, one-on-one connect with Swami. What would you tell those brothers?
I would definitely say that no. This is where Swami has said that I will be there. I will come and receive you. And as Swami said, as we all know, Swami is our mother and father. Where is he? He is here in Puttaparthi, not elsewhere. Why should we be going searching elsewhere and trying to retrack the whole thing and coming back to the center point, i.e. to Prashanti, to Swami again? We've already got the place. Don't go and search elsewhere. So please don't try to even try doing this sort of thing. Come to Vishanti. This is where your Swami is. That is where my Sai is. Definitely your Sai is also here. Don't get yourself diverted elsewhere. It'll take much longer to get back to him.
Mm-hmm. Abhimanyu?
See, I feel I wouldn't like to put it that they have lost touch with Baba, Bhagwan or whatever. Because everybody, even if they are going to anywhere else, they're going because they feel they are connected. So everybody has a connection, but unfortunately it is the way you define life and understand what is happening. And I feel sometimes it's an exploitation of emotions. And as Swami used to always tell us, which we never, you know, wanted to follow, he said, don't get stuck to my body. The body disappears. But he was so beautiful that we fell in love with him, and obviously it is. But then the attachment, or that can be misinterpreted by people as that, okay, that is the only way to reach him. And then we get misused by people who know how to capitalize on that emotion. And then we think that we are never getting out of the physical need of Bhagwan, and then keep on going back and again and again. And we look for any excuse. Like, we know, you are in Canada with me, you know, people who come and say that, oh, I got 8 interviews from Swami, people would fall at his feet. Mm-hmm. That, my God, you have come from Puttaparthi.
That person became a mini Baba.
He became a mini Baba right there, just because he had an interview with Swami. So I used to feel really upset with those people. I said, are you crazy? I studied there, so I should be like Godhead for you. What is wrong? But people were so, I would say, they're hungry for God. They're hungry for spirituality. So if any such thing comes, they fall prey to it. It is sad that the boys who have experienced Swami in so close proximity, they would slip like that. But if you talk to them, they are so engrossed. I remember a few days back, Dr. Bhagya was talking to us, and he gave us a very beautiful story. I would like to mention that.
Please do.
And he said, Swami had told him, there are 3 kinds of people. One who is sleeping, that you can wake up. He's sleeping, so you can just shake and wake him up. Mm. Second, person who is awake, but he's pretending to sleep. So that person also you can wake up, but with little effort. Because he's pretending to sleep, so he needs a little bit of more drama. Hmm. But he will wake up ultimately.
He needs an alarm clock.
Alarms. So third person is sleeping, but he has a misconcept that he's awake. And that is a danger. So when we think we are enlightened already, and then, but actually we are asleep. I pray to God that, Swami, we should not be in that category, but we never know when we can slip. And then Dr. Bhagya, it seems, asked Bhagwan, that, Swami, what do we do with third party? Because that seemed to be the general trend. Swami said, leave them alone.
Okay, that's his business to fix them.
And he said even God can't fix them.
Oh, okay.
so that was a cherry on top. I said, oh God, when we heard that, we were like, oh my God.
So the first step is to protect yourself from falling into that category.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have to keep praying that, Swami, you know, we should not get into that kind of a loop, my God.
Brother Naveen, your final thoughts?
I would encourage the other students who have not been here to come back to Pishanti. At least come and join this group. Enjoy the other students that are around you and how much benefit you can get out of it. It's recharging your battery, definitely. But coming back home, that is very important.
I'm reminded of a story Swami said once. Not story, actually. It was somebody said, Swami, you are everywhere. Then why do you expect people to come and talk directly to you? Swami said, you have a job of touring. He said, yes, Swami. He said, when you tour, how long do you go out for? He said, Swami, sometimes it's a week, sometimes 10 days. I have a long tours. He said, okay. So during that time, do you talk to your wife? He said, Swami, almost every day. I call her up. I have to be a good husband. Swami said, then if you call her, then why do you want to see her personally? Then you can keep traveling and keep calling her. He said, no, Swami, it is different. He said, so when you meet her, is it different than calling her? He said, Swami, obviously. He said, that's the same thing. If you are outside and you're calling me, I'm always there. But when you come here, that physical connect, that recharge, that oneness, that belonging triggers. So you have to be. And when you come to Parthi, there is no other logic. Only when you taste it, then you know
it is
what is happening. Otherwise, it's all philosophical discussions. You know, you can argue, disagree with all that. But the best thing is come. And that too, especially when our master himself has told us, come. Once in a year, come. I think that really aligns. At least to me, it helps. And this is a phenomenal opportunity when imagine 600 plus getting together. It is back to childhood. We are free. We are so happy. You can see smiling faces. Everybody is in a joyful mood. Where else can you find that?
Yeah.
Welcome back, brothers. Enjoy. I would say at least once in a year, touch base.
Definitely come.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Naveen Patel and Brother Abhimanyu Kaul, for sharing your thoughts and your passion for Prashanthi Nilayam with our listeners and with your fellow alumni. With that, dear listeners, I bid you Sai Ram. I hope you enjoyed this discussion and I hope you have a saisam awesome day ahead. May Swami bless, protect, guard and guide you always during every moment of 2018. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking and loving God with all that you have. And remember, stay happy, stay calm. Please enjoy the rest of Thursday Live. And remember, we'll be looking forward to your feedback to today's episode of Morning Glory, the part 3 of Tryst with Divinity with Mr. Umesh Rao and Mrs. Geeta Umesh, and also the live studio discussion with Mr. Abhimanyu Kaul and Mr. Naveen Patel. Thank you for your company and enjoy the concluding arati till my colleague Raghuram Bhatt logs in. Thank you and Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Pujin तरुवर मैं भये पतिया।